T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
9 shows away from the Texans draft. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you on Sports Radio 610. 9 more shows and we'll know who Brian Gain is going to select in the first round. This is one of the most anticipated drafts in recent memory in regards to the Houston Texans. I mean, if you look back, the most epic will obviously be when they traded for Deshaun Watson a couple years ago, but we really didn't know that was going to happen. We had no idea what exactly they were going to do at the quarterback position. That just kind of surprised us a little bit. We knew it was a possibility, but it was somewhat of a surprise. But just given where the Texans are right now, where they sit, what they need, how quiet the offseason has been to many in regards to free agency, 3 picks in the top 55, this is so anticipated that I can't remember a time when I've been more excited for a draft, just to see what exactly Brian Gain's going to do the first time that he actually has a full draft in his arsenal and how he's going to handle it.
Well, you're exactly right. Just because of, you know, he only had the one, the third round pick was his premium pick last year, and now
Justin Reed.
On top of that he has a first and second, 2 second round picks, they were very, very pedestrian in the free agent market. So They're putting a lot of stock on here. And don't forget, 12:40, we're going to revisit some questions some points that I kind of came up with after
investigative OG reporting.
I don't know about that, but digging into everybody that we know or that I found that the Texans have interviewed, I counted 68 names, and there's some really interesting names there in the number of times that they have been interviewed as to maybe we can predict those are guys that they really like.
I wonder, because we look at the Houston Astros, we're about to talk about the Astros, the statement they made slapping around the Seattle Mariners yesterday, capping off the sweep at the ballpark formerly known as Safeco Field. They have their core intact. Mm-hmm. But yesterday, if you looked at what the Astros did, you had guys who've been acquired within the last year after they already had a championship core. Those were the guys that shined yesterday. I'm talking about Ryan Pressly, who they traded for last year. Roberto Osuna, who they traded for last year. Alidmys Diaz hit the home run, the go-ahead home run. He was traded for this offseason. Gerrit Cole traded for last offseason. And then Michael Efren Brantley ties it up in the top of the sixth with his two-run single. Is the Texans' core already established and they just need to sprinkle in guys like the guys I just mentioned?
Yes.
Or does the core need some help and they need another piece to this core? Because I do feel like if you just look at the foundation, I think the core is intact. I think you have guys that could assemble a solid core, but I think Brian Gain needs to make moves like Luno has done the last year in order to add some depth to this roster along with the core.
I said yes immediately because I think that, you know, you got core players on both sides of the ball that's certainly going to be around for a while. DeAndre Hopkins, Deshaun Watson on offense. Who knows about running back? So there's a piece that you need to find. But you might have a guy there that could turn into something in Deontay Foreman. Defensively, I said yes, but how much more does J.J. Watt really have? He proved everybody wrong last year, but he's also 30 now. What are their plans with Jadeveon Clowney? Those are two core guys. Those are literally cornerstone pieces on each side of the defensive line. So what is there? Are they going to be there in 3 years, either of those guys? I don't know.
I think it's respect to J.J. Watt to not count on what he did last year. I think it's more of appreciation of his greatness. Like, a lot of times we'll count people out and people get counted out. And a lot of times you're going out on a limb and you're saying that. But the reason that I'm not just going to sit here and say that I expect J.J. Watt to have 16 sacks every season is just because I know what his body's been through. I know what his body went through last year just to mm-hmm. make that happen. And eventually, when you take that much of a pounding, Father Time catches up. So I'm not going to expect that from J.J. Watt. But I'm not going to sit here and be shocked if it happens. It's basically icing Correct. Whatever I get from J.J. Watt at this point. But 16 sacks last year proved a lot of us wrong. And John Lopez, you and I, we've both been known to eat some crow. We enjoyed the hell out of that J.J. Watt crow.
Darn right.
Astros in Seattle over the weekend. Game 1 on Friday. Jose Altuve homered for the 4th straight game. A grand slam, actually. Yuli Gurriel chipped in with a grand slam of his own. Astros win 10-6. Then Saturday, it was Justin Verlander versus King Felix. Alex Bregman returned to the lineup after having a sore hamstring. You had a Robinson Chirinos solo shot in the third, and then Altuve hits another home run, his seventh, the fifth straight game. Excuse me, I said fifth last one. It was actually the fourth. Fifth straight game, he homers. You had Jake Mariznick looking like Willie freaking Mays in the outfield. The Stros won 3-1. And they went for the sweep yesterday, and I just mentioned it. Michael Brantley, top of the sixth. He ties it up with a bases-loaded single. Alidmys Diaz in the seventh. He hits a solo shot. Astros retire the 19 final Mariners that they face. They sweep that booty. It was they went into Seattle as a team facing the hottest team in baseball. They left as the hottest team in baseball their damn selves.
I mean, where do you begin with this team? Do you want to start with the top two starting pitchers who were just annihilating people? And had Verlander and Gerrit Cole had 22 strikeouts between them on Saturday and Sunday. You want to start there? Or do you want to start with the bullpen, which has been stupid good, probably the best bullpen in the American League right now? Do you want to start with the win streak? I mean, they won 9 straight games. Are we not talking about that? I mean, 9 straight wins in 2019.
Nobody's talking about Guy.
Thank you. They've only won more than 9 straight 3 times in their history. Are we starting there? Or are we starting with some role players, as you just talked about, that Jeff Luno's brought in? Robinson Chirinos is a find.
It's unbelievable.
That dude is 34 years old.
He's playing the best baseball of his career.
Yes.
At 34.
I mean, you want to start there? I mean, this.
Do you want to start with Jose Altuve looking like the MVP again?
Seven home runs and home runs in all those games.
We forgot about Jose, man.
Nowadays, everybody want to talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move the lips. Just a bunch of gibberish and exactly they forgot about.
He didn't pass the torch to Bregman last year. It's still his torch. He's still an MVP caliber guy, and he's showing more pop than he's ever shown.
Right.
And when you realize that the torch hasn't been passed, but Bregman's still one of the best third basemen in baseball, it makes you realize just how damn good this team is.
Yeah.
Just how damn good this team is. And I think the strength of this team, if you asked me to list what are the Astros elite at, it would be a discussion between the lineup, the top of the rotation, and the freaking bullpen, because this bullpen is the best that the Astros have, maybe ever. It's definitely the best since maybe 05.
Well, ever's a bit of a reach.
When they had Lidge, Dotel, and all those guys, say maybe like the mid-2000s.
Yeah.
And Billy Wagner. But my goodness, John, this ball club is something special. And we would have been sitting here praising them if they'd taken 2 out of 3 in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
They pimp slapped the Mariners. They humbled the Mariners. They let them know that you guys are supposed to be rebuilding. And the way in which they did it, there is not one recipe for success. The crazy thing about the Houston Astros, they don't have an identity. Well, they actually do. But their identity, a lot of teams win with pitching. A lot of teams win with hitting. Mm-hmm. The Astros' only identity is badass. And that's been their identity for the last 3 seasons.
I think their identity, and I just illustrated it there with the where do you want to start stuff, I think they're a complete team. I mean, I think they're an absolute complete team. They can, what are the 5 tools? When they say he's a 5-tool player, and there's very few 5-tool players anymore in baseball. You can hit for power. Can play defense, throw, and run. Aren't those the 5 tools?
They are.
The Astros can do all 5 at an exceedingly high level.
I mean, Jose Altuve is a 5-tool team. Carlos Correa is the ultimate 5-tool player.
And they're by the way, I mean,
George Springer's a 5-tool player. It's unbelievable.
But this is a 5-tool team.
It's a 5-tool squad. It's absolutely ridiculous. This is the best Astros team.
Maybe not the running part.
I think, they run foolishly. But I think this is the best Astros team that they've had the last 3 seasons. Now, does that mean that they're going to win the World Series? You never know, because just because you have a better squad doesn't mean that happens, because other teams can elevate their play. But it's early. We're about 10% through the season. This is the best Astros team that I've seen in a very long time. Rockets blow out the Jazz game 1, 122-90. Jazz made it a little bit interesting in the third quarter, but the Rockets eventually pull away. James Harden with 29, 8, and 10. Clint Capella weighs in with 16 and 12. We have to wait till Wednesday for game 2. A lot of people already talking sweep. It should be noted the Rockets blew out the Jazz last year by 14 points in game 1 in the second round of the playoffs. Ended up losing game 2. There was some stuff in this game that I looked at that, made me raise the eyebrows a little bit. There were spurts where you could see how much Ricky Rubio means to this team. He didn't play last year. And Rudy Gobert, as good as he is, defensive player of the year last year, Clint Capella was all up in him. He's owned Rudy Gobert. I don't think there's any other way to put it. He's owned Rudy Gobert the last couple seasons. If Clint Capella owns Rudy Gobert, you can go ahead and chalk it up. Rockets versus Warriors in the second rounds.
I do agree with that. I think Gobert is a really, really good defensive player. I mean,
he didn't look it yesterday.
I mean, his hardware that he has earned says as much, all right? I'm not breaking any news there. I think where he's you know, falling short right now is just being able to keep up and down the floor. Get to his spot before Capella gets there offensively, and get to his spot before, you know, he gets defensively, gets there defensively as well. So Capella just beats him to the spot up and down the floor, and that's huge, especially when their entire game plan is get James Harden into positions on the court that he's not comfortable. Get the ball out of his hands. Well, if your big man is getting to the, you know, deep in the lane, James Harden, I think 6 of his assists were for dunks.
Yeah, and I mean, Clint Capella is starting to read that very well as well. It's going to be interesting because Clint Capella is going to have to, he's going to have to bring his hard hat. I'm not trying to be Mr. Corny hard hat guy. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to bring his hard hat against Rudy Gobert, DeMarcus Cousins, 2 of the best centers in the NBA. He's going to have to bring it. Also in the NBA, we talked about stuff going on in the NBA playoffs. Saturday, 3 of 4 teams lose in the first round. Sunday, yesterday, we saw Oklahoma City fall to Portland. We saw a couple East matchups that I don't even want to mention because it's complete hot garbage. We talked about Cell Phone Gate in Philadelphia. We talked about Patrick Beverley versus Kevin Durant. Something else interesting that happened yesterday following Oklahoma City's loss, Russell Westbrook got a little bit snippy with the media.
No kidding.
This is what that sounded like.
Yeah, Barry Trammell with the Oklahoman. Russell, you've played against Dennis before since he left you, but could you tell he had a little extra in his step tonight trying to play against his old pals?
Next question.
Russ, did you think getting down 38-21, 17-point deficit to come back and make it a game down the stretch, is that a good sign for the rest of the playoffs?
Next question.
That just went on, and he answered everybody else's questions except Barry Trammell. So I'm guessing that him and Barry Trammell have some beef. Enes Kanter for the Portland Trailblazers, the former Oklahoma City Thunder, former New York Knicks, 20 points, 18 rebounds. There's a lot of ways to lose. I don't want to lose when Enes Kanter scores 20 and 18, especially with how obnoxious he is. But I want to ask you this before I get your take on this. Mm-hmm. Are they going to retire Enes Kanter's jersey in Oklahoma City? Because if you retire Nick Collison's, you might have to retire Kanter's as well.
Now I guess you got me thinking now. Here, I was thinking as I'm listening to that audio, though, who looks worse when a player tries to call out a reporter, the reporter or the player?
The player.
Every time. Well, I'm sure there's exceptions, but every time that I can remember as I'm sitting here, when a player or a coach starts, you know, pitching a little fit there because there's some reporter that wrote something that he doesn't like, who looks worse? It's always the player.
100%. Unless it's Marshawn Lynch and he's just doing it all the time.
But some people, the majority of people, I still think, just kind of like roll their eyes at him. You know, he doesn't necessarily look bad. It's like, oh, there's Marshawn just doing Marshawn things.
Russell Westbrook, not a good look.
It's not a win. That's not a winning proposition. Handle your tiffs with the media and vice versa, by the way. Media have tiffs as well behind closed doors.
And that was the first Portland playoff win in 3 seasons. So congratulations to the Blazers. I think this is actually going to be a very good series. A lot of action this weekend, but none of the action more significant than what we saw early yesterday afternoon.
Back behind the ball, Woods puts it
in. He has done it. Tiger is back. Tiger is back on top. Tiger Woods, the 2019 Masters champion, one of the great comeback stories in American sports history.
I don't think that can be understated. Let's just go back and look at how bad things were for Tiger Woods. Let's just go Inside Edition. I went back and I pulled a piece from Inside Edition following Tiger Woods. We know about the divorce, but the recent DUI or DWI, whatever it was a few years ago. This is just the report, courtesy of Inside Edition, on just how low Tiger Woods was about 2-3 years ago.
I need an ambulance immediately. I have someone down in front of my house. They hit a pole.
Tiger had crashed his SUV after a bitter fight with his wife, Elin, over his infidelity. A neighbor called 911.
Now, are they trapped inside of the vehicle?
No, they're laying on the ground. Yeah.
Are you unconscious?
Yes.
Elin had smashed the windows of the SUV with a golf club. The incident brought scrutiny of Wood's private life, and a sordid tale emerged. Over the next several months, as many as 14 women were identified as having relationships with him.
I hurt my wife, my kids.
Neither his personal life nor his golf game ever fully recovered. Now he finds himself once again at a new low.
Look, man, he absolutely was right. This is one of the great stories, comeback stories there were.
Mike Tirico, Westwood One.
And because it wasn't, it was Tiger Woods saying he thought he was done. It wasn't you, it was me, it wasn't national golf writers, it wasn't national media.
Well, they were doing it too.
I'm saying it wasn't just.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods 2 years ago, and this was a story that was relayed yesterday during the broadcast, but has also been talked about multiple times. I mean, he had reached such a low, and you talk about, you know, the Elin Nordegren thing, the golf club, the wreck.
His ex-wife.
She's
got some fire.
The game, the illicit affairs or the other affairs, 19 women documented that he had long-term affairs with, everything. And then there's the injuries. Three back surgeries, both knees, neck, a neck fusion. And he goes into the Masters dinner, Champions dinner 2 years ago, and there's a conversation that he's having with some other golfers there, and he tells them literally, I think I'm done. I think it's over. And then he does that yesterday. That was incredible.
Could I interest you in a stat?
Please.
16 months ago, Tiger Woods was ranked the 1,199th golfer in the world. This is 16 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's ridiculous. That's absolutely crazy. Then we saw what he did last year. He gets the job done. Last time he won a major, I was actually at Torrey Pines. I was fortunate enough to be able to experience what that was like, the buzz, everything like that. It's second to none when it comes to just the presence that Tiger Woods has. You know this, John. There's a lot of guys who walk into a room and you just feel that buzz. Watching Tiger Woods chip it in on 17, walk towards me, tee off, sink a putt on 18 to force a playoff with Rocco Mediate, it was electric, but it almost lost its electricity because I did not think, and nobody thought, that that was going to be the last major we saw Tiger Woods win
right, for
damn near a decade and a half. To see what happened yesterday, it just comes full circle because despite the fact we haven't seen it in a decade and a half, a lot of times when something goes away that long, the buzz isn't still there. The buzz is not only still there, I was crying. I had chills, and I think the buzz is almost even bigger than it's ever been.
Where
with Tiger
were you
Woods.
In 2005, the last time he won a Masters? I was working for the Houston Chronicle. That's how long ago.
You were
it was.
John McClain's coworker.
I was a columnist at the Chronicle. It was still 2 years before I decided to leave. So that was in the midst of the Chronicle's heyday. I was working there. All my kids were either in middle school or starting high school in high school.
Damn.
I mean, think about these things. I want to share something.
Tell me a story.
You're the podium critic.
Tell me a story, baby.
I will tell you a story, and this is from a woman's perspective. All right.
All right.
So Tiger,
tell me a story, OG.
You know I will. So we're watching Tiger. He just wins, and this is how I know that Tiger has his stuff together, courtesy of my better half. You talked about his wife and kids and mom being there. You know why she says that he's got his stuff together? Because she wasn't front and center post match. She let the son go underneath the rope first, and he's hugging her.
That
him.
Was awesome.
He's hugging him.
That was so awesome.
Then she lets mom go hug Tiger, and they hug. Then she gets the daughter to go hug Tiger, and they hug. Finally, she goes in there, and they hug. And then when they're walking, and it's a little thing that if you notice, when they're walking toward the scoring tent, the girlfriend, and I wish I could remember her name, I don't remember, stops and walks back to help Tiger's mom come back up to the front. So this is from a woman's perspective saying she's different from the other girls that he's had.
Well, I would think
she's
so.
She's good for him.
She's not a porn star.
Well, not only that, but even Elin, I mean, you know, was kind of front and center on a lot of this
yeah.
stuff. She was a star.
Yeah.
So from a woman's perspective, she's good for Tiger because she's actually more concerned about family and stuff and taking care of the mom than being out there in front.
It was awesome seeing him, seeing the side by side of him hugging his dad when he first won the Masters in 96, and then seeing him hugging his kid and all the stuff that came with it. His daughter actually lost the state finals in soccer the day before. She flew in to watch him at the Masters so she could be a part of that. You think she flew Southwest?
No.
I don't think so either. Hell no. PJ Life. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Sports Radio 610. It's lunchtime, Loopholes. Send us pictures of your food, 713-572-4610. We also want to hear from you. What was your favorite part of yesterday, and is Tiger Woods the best comeback story of all time? And plus, in the spirit of one of the best sports days in a while, I dropped the track, paying some homage to Eazy-E, or am I hiking his leg on his grave? I'll let you decide. In the Loop, noon hour, also going to be joined by Jonathan Joseph next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.